Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Happy Easter to you, folks, and welcome to Got Your Back Sunday night live stream edition. Our intention was to be live on Twitter and on YouTube tonight, but we were having some issues with YouTube. So to be honest with you, I'm not sure we're actually live anywhere, but we're doing a podcast too. So if we weren't able to get up live, hope you're able to consume us in podcast form or on YouTube after the fact. Zuby will make sure that the podcast is available to everybody. Coming at you from our Long Shot studio out here in Sherwood Park. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in Edmonton and in Sherwood Park. TrackMan technology makes it a spectacular place to go and play a little golf, and also awesome meal. Awesome meal you can get down at Long Shots. As always, our podcast brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC, just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. A big, beautiful dealership. They've got stock, right? Lots of times you show up at these dealerships and they don't have a vehicle for you to sit in or test drive. Not the case with Sherwood Buick GMC. They're the number one volume GMC dealership in all of Canada for 6 years running. And there is a reason why. They've had a killer month. And they want to invite you down to Sherwood Park Auto Mall Road. 10 Auto Mall is the address. Visit them online as well at gmcpod.com. All right, Zuby, pushing buttons behind the scenes. Struds and Brownie joining us tonight. Happy Easter, guys. How is the food, boys? Struds, how's the meal?
Love it. I love the Easter meals. You got a little bit of everything. Big fan of it all. How about you, Brownie?
It was very good. My wife made lamb for me tonight. She also threw a salmon on. It was a big day in the Brown household.
Okay. So what was the, Brownie, what was the biggest pile on your plate was what? Like, what do you go hardest on?
Today it was lamb. I went back and got some more. They're the little lamb with the, I don't know, the leg thingamajiggers. Mm-hmm. They were delicious. My wife did a fantastic job with it. Went back for seconds.
Nice. Struds, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, I went for, I love it. I mean, my favorite thing, you know, there's a bunch of casseroles. I'm a big casserole guy around the holidays, Easter, Christmas. So my wife made an incredible corn casserole. It was, I also went return for more as well.
A little corn casserole. That's interesting. That's
interesting. Big fan of the corn. Love the corn.
Yeah, interesting. So we have the Randine side of the family. There's strong Ukrainian ties there. And, man, some of the, I can't even pronounce a bunch of them, but it got out of hand tonight. Went back for seconds and having regret. But it was so good at the time. So, and guys, the cranberry sauce was just all over the place. It was all on everything, like on the turkey. It was on even on the pierogies. Yeah. You know, on the stuffing, like just little bits of it. It was just like this shotgun blast of cranberry sauce, Strutty, just all over the plate. It was
so good. Buddy, I get it. When you don't want to taste something, you smother it with a poor choice. Ketchup, cranberry sauce, A1 sauce, and I get it, buddy. You're not a connoisseur, and that's fine. I still appreciate you and value your opinions.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you. Zuby, how are we? Are we good? What's happening?
I guess so. We got an error message that said that we were not going to be on YouTube, so I ran through all of the progressions, i.e. unplug it and plug it back in. Yep. That didn't change anything. And so then we just said, we'll do it live, as somebody threw out the old adage. I forget what's his name? The Fox News guy who did say that.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. It had a little bit more colorful language. Anyway, went ahead and boom, there we are. We're on YouTube. I had to jump in on this conversation because tonight at my house with some family here visiting for Easter dinner, we did the classic, as the dessert's coming out. We forgot the cranberry sauce. They homemade cranberry sauce left in the fridge, absent from the entire meal.
That never made the table. And nobody noticed? Nobody complained? I would have thought somebody would have filed a complaint.
We're not that used to doing it. And so it was,
that tells you though, that tells you where it is. It wasn't important at all. In fact, it wasn't even an afterthought. No one thought of it, guys. So it just makes my case stronger.
It does.
I don't want to, I know I've won this one. There's no need to argue, guys.
Brownie, you have a hated, you have a hated regular dish that the rest of the world accepts that you can't stand?
Vegetables.
It's something to do with your complexion. You're graying. All right, good stuff. Well, Zuby, great job. I think we're up on YouTube here. So well done, my friend. You were sweating and you were grinding back there. So good job. Unfortunately, you forgot to frame up Struds properly because he's like half a head lower than Brownie and I, which is just kind of...
I didn't put program up. I was dealing with the other thing. You had to tell me in the intro that that's going
to
be
there
lovely.
There you go. Much better. Okay. Now we can get to our breakdown.
Let's do a podcast,
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to have some fun on the podcast tonight, too. So we're going to go our breakdown. What are the ingredients for a Stanley, for a playoff team? Like, what parts of your game do you want to make sure are in order? We're going to have that discussion and see how the Oilers check out. We're going to do Struddy's World Second. Takeaways tonight, we're going to do a little edition of Ask Each Other Anything, where I just want the group to be a tight-knit group. So we're going to spend a little time getting to know each other here on the podcast. And then take a lap and ask us anything as well, where you can join in on the stream. Let's get to the breakdown, though, brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They perform services from oil changes to engine swaps, overhauls, modified engine work. The crew at Adrenaline Diesel are there to get your truck or trailer in great shape like it's right out of the factory. Drop in or check them out at adrenalinediesel.ca. Not going to spend a lot of time, guys, on the game yesterday. Each of you take 15 seconds and give me a thought on what, a game that they were supposed to win and did. Brownie?
The Oilers played well, and I believe that the Anaheim Ducks have quit on their coach.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was embarrassing. That the effort that was put forth by the Anaheim Ducks, when they had the puck, they cared. When they didn't care. And that's accountability, and that to me, that's on the coach.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brownie. I hate to beat up on a team that's down in luck, but they, with away from the puck, their habits are not there, right? They're very, very weak team away from the puck, but that's for another day and for Verbeek to figure out. But as far as the Oilers, they came in, it was a mature game. They came out, played the way they needed to do. They got the 2 points. They moved on. It wasn't a big surprise.
Now, just on that Ducks thing real quick here, Brownie, you know what the red flags start flying is how many young players they have.
Yeah. Like
young guys that are trying to learn the way right now. So that, to me, that is significantly concerning when you've got all these young future, cornerstone players that are right at the beginning of the journey here.
No, they're learning how to play the wrong way. There was 3 shifts in the third period where all 5 Ducks changed when the Oilers had the puck at their own blue line. They just left the ice. They didn't care where they turned the puck over. Zegras twice in the first period threw blind passes. One at the offensive blue line turned into a 3-on-2. McDavid had a chance. The other one right in front of his own net. So to me, if there's no accountability, they're going to continue to do it. And the veterans players, they look like they quit. That team has way more talent than their record shows. They're not a playoff team, but that is a much better team talent-wise than they showed yesterday. And to me, that's on the coach. That coach, I don't believe, has that team.
It's hard to play the right way. It really is hard. And I know that I don't expect them to win the Stanley Cup, but I agree with Brownie. There's more pieces there than their record shows. Yep. I don't think their goaltender particularly looks like he really is content where he's at. And I don't blame him. Like, I don't blame him at all. And so I want to be careful. I'm not beating up on their organization, but I've been in that spot. But I don't remember having that many pretty decent, good young players around me. Especially when I was an older player. I think Verbeek's got a lot of hard work to do, a lot of heavy lifting this summer. But the culture, right? You got to start turning this thing north quick. Oof.
Well, one thing, Shoggy, on all of that, did you see in the third period, the Oilers got a penalty? There was a delayed penalty. Did you watch Gibson go to the bench? It must have taken him 12 seconds to get to the bench. That is a player that is not happy with what's going on in that organization.
Yeah. It's got to be killing a guy like Alex Killorn too. Been around and seen a bunch of different things and knows what it's supposed to look and feel like. Speaking of what it's supposed to look and feel like, the conversation I want to have right now, guys, is, the Oilers are getting set here for the playoffs. Coming down the stretch, of course, you're playing for some positioning, and they are. But I think it's as much about getting your game in order and making sure the different areas of your game are in proper order so that when the puck drops at playoff time, you are in control of your faculties, right? You have your game in control. I've got a list of a few things that I think are important to have in order come playoff time, but I don't want to just blast out my list. I want to sort of create an ingredients list with you guys. So maybe you can go one at a time, and Struds, we can start with you, but what would be on you at the top of your priority list of things that a team needs to have control of, to have in order as they approach the playoffs?
So this isn't a specific thing, and it kind of covers everything. I think it's a pretty good place to start. I'll call it the umbrella of consistency or predictability. Mm-hmm. So just when you come out that door, I know what you're doing, whether it's the first shift, your 10th shift, or your 20th shift. Mm-hmm. Not suggesting you're not going to have breakdowns. Every team makes mistakes. Both teams. It's just the way it is. But I want to have a predictable way of playing. So that means whatever your system is, you're going to deliver it, but also your effort and intensity. And every team goes up and down, but you want to dial it in. So predictability, consistency, whatever you want to use, Shogger.
Yeah, Brownie, that's kind of like we use the language on the pod, or I have, about like, what's your base game? Like what game can you rely on? If you're hitting posts and it's not going in or whatever, and maybe guys' legs aren't there, what's the minimum that you put forward as a team? What's your identity and your base level of game? And I think, Struds, that's kind of what you're talking about, is just being able to lean on who you are, because when you come out, whether it's the first period, the second, this is your game, and you're in control of being able to play that game no matter how the bounces are going for you. Brownie?
I agree, and I think to go along that line, low event. I think the Edmonton Oilers, if they play low event, they're a very good hockey club. Because if there's only going to be five major plays in a game, I like the Oilers' chances. Because they're going to capitalize more so than any other team. Because they've got better talent. Them and Colorado would be close because the top-end talent in Colorado. But when the Oilers start playing high event hockey, they give more chances to the opposition. And that allows players that are a little lesser talented more opportunities. And I think that's what we saw in Buffalo, in Ottawa, Toronto. Just gave up too many big plays against. So to me, play low event hockey. And if you play low event hockey and you're willing to win a game 2-1 in the playoffs, then you can. The problem for the Oilers is they try to outscore their mistakes in the last couple of playoffs when they started losing. To me, if they're willing to play low event hockey, I think they can have success.
I'm using the month of March as kind of the barometer for where their game is at in some of these categories, Brownie. So I think in a roundabout way, you're talking about playing strong defensive hockey, right? You keep it low event, play strong defensive hockey. And in the month of March, goals against per game, the Oilers were at 2.3 goals against per game through the month, and that was fifth best in the National Hockey League. So overall, not too bad. With that said, I think they've given up three or more in four of their last six or five of their last seven or something like that. So they let it get away from them in a few games. But through the month, they were pretty good. Struds, how do you feel about their control of their defensive game heading into the playoffs?
Well, the first thing, just to echo what Brownie said, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't give them easy chances. Make them earn their goals. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that. Now, again, there's been some, you'd love to have that Toronto game back. There's no doubt about it. But every team would like to have a game back, here or there. Out of a stretch of 10 games, there's probably one like, oh man, we'd love a redo with that. Maybe they were tired. Maybe there was a sickness going through a team. Maybe they had an off night. And I think that's even going to happen in the playoffs, guys. So I think we have to understand that. So I think you got to take your best game out and your worst game out of a segment of 10 games. Yep. And then what we got left in there. I think that's kind of a fair way to
100%
to do it. I like that. So I think the defensive game has been pretty good. I think Skinner's been solid. I think their goaltending has been, again, toss out their best, toss out their worst. Those other 80%, you're like, okay, that's been pretty good. So, or it's been solid, not pretty good, it's been solid. So I feel comfortable about that part of their game, Shaggy.
I was going to go, let's go goaltending next, because you just mentioned it, right? It's an obvious one, but these are critical elements. So Stu Skinner, 6-1-2. 918 save percentage and a 2.37 goals against average. It's a good month. It's really, really good month. His numbers are strong. Calvin Pickard, 4-2, 933, 1.76 goals against average. Unreal numbers here from Calvin Pickard. And guys, of all the goaltenders in the league who started at least five games during the month, he's third with that 1.76 goals against average. Some pretty impressive numbers, Brownie. The goaltenders, and especially Stuart Skinner, not just the wins, but to me, the way he has looked. He's looked like he's in control. and not flopping all over the place and confident and commanding in the net. I've really liked the way he's looked in the last couple of games too. Goaltending's in a good place.
Well, and you look at a number of the games this month where the Oilers gave up a couple early and then Skinner just locked it down. Mm-hmm. You like that about it because there's I know that Struds has probably played against teams too where they'll be talking the dressing room, get a couple on this guy early, he'll just quit. He'll get frustrated. And all of a sudden, so your first 5-7 minutes are hard because you're like, we can get this goalie off his game. But I found that Skinner this year, for the most part, if there's an odd start for the Oilers or an off start for the Oilers and they fall behind by a couple, he plays better, realizing, you know what, I can't give up that next goal because we might not come back from it. So to me, Skinner has been excellent and Pickard's been even better considering what you expected from him when he first came up. So goaltending to me has been rock solid.
Struds, do you have another ingredient you want to throw in there? I've got a few more, but if you've got something that comes to mind, feel free.
No, just a comment on the goaltender. Yep. He's played, he being Skinner, I think he's played the 6th most minutes of any goalie in the league. The number and game starts, he's 51, and I believe Georgiev, Colorado's leading at 57 starts. So I recognize they have quite a few, what is it, 10 games in April, Shager, I think. Yep. They've really got to manage his starts. They've really got to
two sets of back-to-backs. Right?
Yeah, so that's definitely down. So he's down at eight max starts. I think you got to get him around 6, maybe 7 starts. I really feel strongly about that.
I could see Skinner going, 6 wouldn't surprise me. Honestly, mm-hmm. 6 wouldn't surprise me at
that's
all.
That's fine.
Yeah.
He needs a rest. So just in that part there. I'll throw something out there, guys. I think we've talked about this lately. Their physicality and their bulliness. I think they need to find that. And we know we've addressed who the guys are and they can do it. I'm not asking Derek Ryan to go out there and punish guys all over the ice. He can finish hits, but we know the cast that is able to do that. And they need to have that bully mentality. And once you get one or two guys going, it's fun to jump on that parade. It's hard when no one's doing it, but your leaders are Kane, their Nurse, Perry, obviously. I think we've got Carrick in that. Mm-hmm. Like there's that group, a cast of guys that have to be leaders and need to bring it every single night, you know, as much as you can down the stretch, but definitely in the playoffs, Brownie.
Well, and I throw in both Leon and Connor. I mean, there's a lot of nights where Connor leads the parade. He's the one starting it off. So I've said it before, and I got buddies, you know, or the Oilers, you know, they play LA or they play these big Dallas teams. I'm like, the Oilers to me are the biggest bullies in the Western Conference. They are. Mm-hmm. Physicality, because a lot of the players that they have that are physical play a lot. When Connor and Leon are physical, those are guys that play 22 minutes. Teams might have a fourth line. They got a big, rugged fourth line. Yeah, good. They're going to play 7 minutes, and they'll never be out against the Oilers' best players. So to me, the Oilers' physicality is huge. They are bullies. They have to understand when to toe the line, staying disciplined. But I do believe that the physicality would be something that the Oilers have the advantage in just about every series, if not every series, these playoffs.
Thanks to Quaddy pointing out they have 3 sets of back-to-backs. That's my bad, made an error there. They've got the Avalanche and Flames. They've got the Coyotes and Canucks. That's a home. And then Coyotes and Avalanche to end the season. So 3 back-to-backs left, and 2 of those are out on the road. Some other elements, guys, and again, some of these are obvious. Special teams through the month of March. Power play, 28%. That was good enough for 8th is the clip that they're on right now. Penalty kill, 80.5, was 11th. So not the strongest numbers for the power play, but that's the kind of thing, Brownie, it seems to me, the puck could drop in the playoffs and they just go completely lights out in the playoffs with the power play. The group's just, they're just fine-tuned and can do that, I would think.
I have no worry about their power play. Their power play will win them games in the playoffs. Their penalty kill, when they're aggressive, they're very, very tough. And if their penalty kill is as good as it has been as of late, their specialty team should win them games in the playoffs, 100%.
Struds?
You can't lose that special team battle because it makes it really hard 5-on-5, right? So I think that I'm agree with the power play is not my big concern. You're in that top 10, that top 5, you're dangerous. Let's just call it what it is. And I think they're even better than that. The penalty kill, Brownie just nailed it. They need to be aggressive, ultra aggressive. And I think they have to rotate 3 sets of forwards to get into that mindset. And they have the people that can do it, but they have to just do it continually and just get it done. Because if they can keep that at a, I think they're 15th in the league right now for the year. I would love to see that inside the top 10. I think that was one of my goals heading into the season for the team.
You want the team to be getting healthy. We'll see on Brett Kulak, who did go on the road trip. But the Oilers, you know, Oilers have been in good shape all year long. So they definitely have that going for them as well. Here's one, guys. And we've talked about this in recent weeks on the pod. Defined roles and line chemistry, right? As you prepare for the playoffs, you want to roll out a lineup every night you can feel comfortable with, have the players feeling comfortable. They know where they belong. They know what their roles are. And lines are starting, you know, to develop that chemistry. Guys are comfortable playing with one another. They were in real danger of this being way too far off the rails for the start of playoffs for my liking. But Struds, it feels like it's kind of starting to come into focus a little bit here with this Henrik, Draisaitl, Fogle thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to be the guy that says, hey, Strud, great job, but I'll do it. You know, I said that, you know, Leon Draisaitl is a very like a Nugent Hopkins light player. Like he's
Henrik
like,
is not so, Draisaitl.
Sorry, Henrik. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Henrik is like that. So him having success beside Leon is not a major surprise. I don't think it should be for anybody because of the success Nugent's had with Leon in the past. So obviously he enjoys that. And then you have Fogle on the other side. And I believe that if Leon didn't enjoy playing with Fogle, he wouldn't be playing with Fogle.
Yeah.
So that might be the line. Now, that changes things from the third and fourth line perspective, but it may solidify or make it a clearer picture, Brownie, what the top six looks like.
Well, I've wanted Henrik in the top six all along. Yeah. I just – he's smart. He sees the game like Leon does. He makes plays. He keeps plays alive. He's got finish. Smart play. I mean, the goal that they scored at the end of the period the other day, him finding the right body positioning in front of the net. He's smart. And again, the biggest thing is there's some on ice chemistry, and Strud said it about Fogle, but I also believe it with Henrik on the other side. Leon likes playing with them.
Yeah.
There's been a turntable of players going through that line this year. So I believe Leon likes that, and a happy Leon makes the Oilers a better hockey club. The Oilers have got two very good top lines, and then they got two lines that they can throw out. I like McLeod playing with Perry and Kane, but this is what I also like. If at some point you want to move McLeod somewhere else and you put Carrick in there, and then that could be, it's a pain in the butt line to play right now. You throw Carrick between Perry and Kane, and it's an even scarier line. So they have options, but I do like the fact there's some consistency right now with the lines, which we haven't seen in quite a while.
Yeah. Is there anything or what concerns you, Struds, heading into the playoffs with this group? I'll give you sort of a minute to gather your thought on that. But of all of the things that we've just talked about that they have in order, is there something that has you going, over the next 10 games, they definitely need this?
Well, I think obviously the biggest challenge would be the health, but that's pretty easy to say. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of maybe is easy to use. I would say just the bottom six, the clarity in the bottom six, and everyone understanding how they can contribute and having a willingness to contribute somewhere they don't think they maybe should be. And that's on every team. This isn't just Oilers. I believe every third liner thinks they should be a second liner. Every fourth liner thinks they should be a third liner. Every guy outside should be in the lineup. Like, that's how it goes. So can that bottom six, can they create an identity and stabilize those lines, but then give those guys, you know, will those guys embrace that identity for the greater good, which is always important in any deep run you have in the playoffs, Brownie?
Well, I think everything you said is right, but that none of that concerns me. I think this Oiler team knows what their roles are. I think they understand the roles, and I think they've got fantastic leadership. But I'm going to go back to the other one. To me, the only concern I have for the Edmonton Oilers is health. If you look around the National Hockey League, the number of players that have been out, that have been on long-term injury, that have been missing from teams, players that have missed, big name players that teams have missed. If you look at all in Vegas and LA and Vancouver's had injuries, Dallas, Colorado, everyone's had all these injuries. The Oilers have had none. It's scary how healthy the Oilers team has been all year long. That's the one concern I have for me. Just the odds of the Oilers going through an entire regular season and then through a 2-month playoff period where they have no injuries. We know what the teams have with their depth, because everyone has seen their depth. Like, Vegas has 8 NHL defensemen because 2 defensemen are always injured, so the other 2 are learning on the job. The Edmonton Oilers, I don't know what they've got with their depth players. I don't know what their minor league players can do. We haven't seen Holloway and Gagne in the National Hockey League for a while now. The one thing that worries me is if the Oilers' health runs out of the luck they've had this year.
The other thing, too, is, and we touched on this a little bit, just want to see them be in control of their starts. Just be a team that really starts on time, that imposes their will on the opposition right from the first shift. And they've been in and out of that all season long. So you definitely want to see, I think they scored first in 9 of 15, I think, roughly, through the month of March. So got to get off to a good start. Don't want to be chasing it in the playoffs. All right, good stuff. Let's get to our relentless person of the night. And Strutty, I've got this one. Brought to you by UCanU Services. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCanU Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. So guys, we have a start time for the show. We come in, we sit down in our chairs, we turn on our computers, we click on the link that gets sent to us, and then we start talking. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes. I've produced these podcasts. When we first started, I was doing some of them myself as well. It's a shit ton of work. Zuby is our relentless player of the night tonight. Zuby, come on in here, buddy. You did a great job getting us up and running. I have to stay. You were pretty calm when the shit was hitting the fan there. But just describe to us what's happening when you've got the three of us sitting here, frustrated, looking at our watches, wondering when the hell we're going to start, and all the pressure's on you.
Well, you guys are pretty cool about it, really. I mean, it's something like that. But it's I don't know. I take this thing very personally. I want it to be good every night. I want us to start on time. I want it to look good and sound good and all that thing. So I have skin in the game. This show's important to me. So I think I was feeling it a lot more than you guys, although I don't want you to know what you guys have planned for afterwards. But I was feeling that the heavy heartbeat and the sweats. I think I'm over the sweats now. So that might have just been the stuffing talking. But I appreciate it. I'm always just... This show's important to me too, even though I'm just back here pushing buttons and coming in with a couple chirps here and there. So I appreciate it. We got it done. We're on the air. We're live. Nothing's cut out yet.
Strud, you sat there looking fairly unimpressed through most of that. I have to say, you look the least. You look the most frustrated.
I honestly, when I see that we're not on, I go do something else. Like I was sending emails, I'm checking other things. Like, so that's just my thought. I don't feel bad because I've had problems technically from my side. And I'm not blaming Zoo, but I don't get upset. I'm like, no problem. It's like, it happens, man. It's like 1 out of 100, it happens. So no big deal.
Pretty darn good. We had one grumpy guy on the stream that was bitching at us. So we just punted him.
Yeah.
Just flat out booted him right out of there. He was complaining at us. And Brownie's the king of technical issues. So, Zuby, nice job tonight, buddy. Okay, when we come back, we're actually going to switch up the order of the podcast. Strutty's World is coming up, and then we'll have a little bit of fun coming up in takeaways as well. So, short commercial break, and then Strutty's World coming up.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
Ha, 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 ha.
A couple of comments on the stream based on our last conversation. John Heru chimes in and says, Kaner's just warming up. He's going to ratchet up the physicality now, getting himself playoff ready. Penner's Pancakes agreed. Kane will set the tone in the playoffs exactly how he did in the first minute with that hit on Doughty. And Nathan Jameson with a chime in for Derek Ryan said, needs to be in for the PK alone, not even mentioning the fact he's so reliable, 5-on-5. Keep the comments coming. Meanwhile, time for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products, locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. See why they've been going so strong since 2005. It's quality stuff. Reliable, unmatched service to go with it. High-quality North American-made products. DLR Vinyl Products. .ca. Jason?
Fighting is leaving the NHL. It is not, we don't need to get a lot of people involved. You don't need the refs. We don't need the league coming in. We don't need people on their soapboxes talking about how fighting is dangerous and how it's ruining youth who watch the game or anything like that. And let me tell you how I know. I watched the Bruins or the Sabres and the Leafs play Saturday night.
Oh yeah,
there was a ton of Leafs fans there. The Buffaloes had a tough couple of years, obviously, maybe 13 if you're just looking at the playoffs. But anyways, Austin Matthews scores his 60th goal in their building. The place erupts. Congratulations to him. It's absolutely awesome. If I'm the Sabres, I'd be pretty upset, and I get it. So they go in there, and they're playing a game, and one of their players runs TJ Brody. Well, two of them actually, Tuck and Pekera, and there's a bit of a – it wasn't even that big of a hit. So anyways, now it's kind of, there's a little bit of a scrummy going on, I would say. But I saw more hugs and kisses, less hugs and kisses at my family dinner today than we did in that game with the Sabres and the Leafs when it was going at it. In fact, players partnered up, helmets came off, but the gloves stayed on. They were holding and wrestling each other and pushing each other around and with gloves. And the guys are like, "Oh, we got a brouhaha." I'm like, "That's not a brouhaha. That is just a normal night at Subway around 2 a.m. when you're trying to get your sub. Nothing exciting is happening there. It was not a fight. There's no fighting. So fighting's leaving. 15, 20 years ago, it would have been a brawl. First off, they would have been mad that the other team's guy scored a 60th goal. Second, that one of your older players got run. It would have been a brawl. There's no fighting. So fighting is leaving the game. This is why young people that Brownie and I coach, we see them, they're not looking up at guys like Bob Probert, at Mark Messier, at George Rock. They're looking at Trevor Zegras, Bedard, McDavid, Matthews, pure skill, no fighting. Those guys don't want to fight. I don't blame them. They don't have to fight. So don't worry about legislating fighting out of the game. Don't worry about pushing it out of the NHL because it's bad for our youth. Our youth aren't watching fighting now. They don't want to fight. And if you're not sure, go watch that scrum, and not even a scrum. Go watch that line dance between the Sabres and the Leafs we saw Saturday night, and you'll know what I'm talking about because I know what I'm talking about, boys.
Well said, Struds. Yeah, that was something. I was watching that, and they were talking about, everybody's involved in everything, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I don't see a single glove on the ice, just a bunch of sticks laying around on the ice. It was bizarre. It was odd. Brownie, what do you make of what Strudzy
Well, proposes? It's true. I mean, I remember nowadays you go to a junior game, they don't fight no more. And when I played junior, I remember we had a brawl in Kamloops where two of our players ended up at the old Memorial Arena, 12 rows up, sitting beside Doris, who was the billet lady. Mm-hmm. That's how far the brawl went up. Mm-hmm. I remember back then coaches would tell you, "Hey, you know what, Brownie, it's your draft year. You got to go out and fight. Hitch, you got to fight this shift." All right. And then you're looking down, who are they sending out, trying to find someone that you won't get beat up by. But it's just the way that they've taken fighting out of younger ages. And that's just the way it's going. So I agree. You don't have to legislate. The NHL is not going to have to take it out. Fewer and fewer players are going to fight anymore. It goes with physicality. When's the last time you saw an open ice hit? When we played, I mean, if you were on the ice with Scott Stevens or Brian Marchment or Ulf Samuelson, you knew where they were because they were trying to take your knees out. You can skate through the neutral zone with full speed right now with no fear of getting hurt.
So the game has changed, guys. We know that. But I guess the question, Strutty, is, and I didn't sense that you were doing a lot of complaining other than just, notable...
Oh,
notable the way those guys.
I disagree. I think Struds is complaining.
Okay, but Struds, what do you make of it? What do you think? What should they do in that situation? Are you saying, look, don't even bother with that garbage because that's embarrassing? So either fight or just pair off and leave it at that. Like, what would you prefer in that scenario?
Let's make it clear. I'm not suggesting I wouldn't fight. That's completely your choice. But what they did was a waste of time. Just get off. Oh, he got me. Whatever. Like it delayed my evening. It delayed my evening. So just let's just get it going. If you're not going
to
fight,
like the ref should say, "Is anybody here willing to engage in fisticuffs?"
No. Yeah. And what I would do if I was a ref, I would just look at him. I would just say, "All 10 players on the ice, 10 minute misconducts. See you later. Send out the next 10." Like it's a waste of my time. It is just a waste of time. And I would also. I know you don't like me picking on the announcers, Shogger, but do not advertise something as a brawl when it's a line dancing clinic that it was down at Cowboys. I saw that in 2008. That's what that was. There was more aggressive dancing there than we saw on that line dancing clinic on Saturday night between the Leafs and the Sabres. It's a waste of time. Just don't do it. It just wastes time and distracts from the game. Let's just get through it.
Well, Struds, there was probably more fights in practice when we played than there are in games now.
No.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that they should fight. I'm not saying that what we did was better. I'm saying that it evolves. Everything changes. You know, what's the one constant? Change. That's from Rob Brown, 1987. He told me that. It's just, there's just change. So, you know, people that are on their high horse one or another, you can't stop it. You can't control it. Just like I can't ask those guys to fight. I can't ask 20 years ago back and asked Donald Beshear not to fight. Like it doesn't work that way. So this is the way it is. Just accept it. It's going that way.
Lots of great comments coming in on our YouTube, our Weiss Johnson YouTube mentions. And remember, Weiss Johnson's offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive to keep the air in your home clean. If we have another forest fire season like we did in past years, right, you're going to want a comfortable place to go because it can get a little sketchy outside. And this system that Weiss Johnson can help you out with will help you be more comfortable in your home during those difficult wildfire times. And it's especially helpful to those with respiratory issues as well. Contact them for this amazing deal by visiting Weiss-Johnson.com today. Weiss Johnson, whoa. The Coastal chimes in and says, "Man, maybe embarrass him. Give them all delay of game penalties. Give everybody a delay of game penalty because Struds, that's all they did. They just delayed the game and delayed our evenings." I like that comment.
They're not going to be embarrassed. They don't even think like it. I'm not complaining. I'm not belittling these guys, but it's a completely different mindset. So they're not going to be like, "Oh, I got 2 minutes. Why for delay? What did I do? I was wrestling with the guy." No, you weren't wrestling. It was, I believe, it was the Cadillac Ranch. Yeah. I thought I heard a Cadillac Ranch playing on my. And I love that song.
Long and dark. Shane Matheson says, "Agree. Fight or just leave the ice. It looks like baseball. Benches clearing for nothing." That was Struddy's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. When we come back. We're going to get to know each other a little bit. It's Sunday night, right? No game. One game in the NHL tonight. By the way, the Vancouver Canucks won, so they maintain that pace over the Oilers in the standings, but the Oilers still have a couple of games in hand. When we come back, ask each other anything. Stick around.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Michael Cook, always a huge lover of the Weiss Johnson jingle. Zuby, every time you play that tonight, all caps, the jingle. Hell yeah. Michael Cook, loves the Weesh Johnson jingle. You're welcome, Michael. You are welcome. Time now for takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Have you seen the Sea-Doo Switch? The brand new way to live the Sea-Doo life. It's the only pontoon that easily adapts to any family-sized adventure. It's fully customizable from rail to deck. Its modular design allows you to rearrange the seats depending on the number of passengers or the activity you're doing. Plus, the easy handlebar steering makes it stress-free to dock and launch. Check one out at Martin Motorsports on the west or south side of Edmonton today. We're getting to that time. Can start thinking about summertime, springtime stuff, and let Martin Motorsports help you out with that. Zuby, hop on in, buddy. All right. We were giving the Zuby Wed game a rest, so we came up with an alternate little fun segment. Ask each other anything. All of us were given the task to come up with one question we wanted to ask the other three on the podcast. We'll keep our answers snappy. We'll get through it quick. Just look, guys, we need to be tighter. The chemistry on this pod isn't as good as it could be. So I think this segment, Strutty, will go a long way in maybe helping that. I want to know more about you guys.
I love it. Let's do it. Who's starting this bad boy?
I don't know. What do you think? Brownie, why don't you start us off, buddy?
Okay, I'm ready.
Buck. All right, have at it.
Shogger.
Yes.
If you can have on your podcast or interview any sport celebrity in the world, who would you have?
Sport celebrity.
You and him or her. Sitting down, having a conversation.
Yeah, I would probably... just give me 1 second to think about that. Honestly, I would love to have Scottie Scheffler on. He's the number one golfer in the world right now. He's crushing it. There's lots of stuff I'd like to ask him, right? Is it realistic to be chasing Tiger? Is there any chance he's going to be able to do it? Want to know a little bit more about what makes him tick. I spent the day watching him today and was just kind of, he's just interesting to me. So he'd be pretty high up there on my list. But honestly, Brownie, if you said to me you could interview one person on the podcast, there's no chance it'd be from the sporting world. I would pick something different. Something a little bit more out there. Maybe Jason Bateman or someone like that.
Oh, that'd be a good
guy,
one.
Right? Just somebody.
I like Jason Bateman. I like that one. That's
by
a good
the way,
one.
On the Ray and Dregs hockey podcast coming up later this month, I think there's a good chance that we might have a member of the Smartless podcast on our Ray and Dregs podcast later this month. Not going to promise it, but good Canadian content there, Will Arnett. So eyeballing that. Stay tuned.
Brownie, all right. Keep going. Zuby. Uh-oh. Let's pretend that the sometime in the future this podcast actually makes money.
Okay.
And you get a big bonus.
Oh yeah.
And you can go anywhere in the world on vacation where cost is not a problem. Where do you pick?
Maybe this is going to be boring, but I have to say what pops into my head, which is probably Disneyland, because it's that's kind of the next thing on and of course that's the trip of Disneyland, the flight and the hotel, that's not too bad. But once you get into the parks and everything else, it's something we're looking at for the kids' birthdays. So, I mean, that has to be my first answer. For somewhere extravagant to go in the world, man, I don't know if it was just the wife and I or backpacking or something like that. I don't know. I think I got to go with that answer, Disneyland, because the cost prohibitive. It is the dad.
All right, that's good. That's good.
Join the Browns. We go every July. It's my daughter's favorite place in the world.
Rashad Thinning Hairline says Zuby needs to buy a new shirt with that bonus. That neck collar can't go any lower.
It's plunging neckline.
It's a V-neck. I'm a V-neck guy.
He's too sexy. Looks great.
All right, Strutty. For anyone out there that has never had the pleasure of watching you play, who in the National Hockey League today can you point out to them and say, that's how Jason Strudwick played?
Oh, well, that's pretty hard. I would say it'd be a less skilled Eric Gabranson.
Hmm. Ooh, okay. I like that.
That's pretty good.
I like that. Yeah. I was going to say a slightly less skilled Cale Makar, but Gabranson, yeah, I can see that too.
Smoother skating, obviously. Yeah, less. I think tougher, but less skilled Eric Gabranson. That's how I see it.
He actually throws punches that have a significant amount of power behind them. He's not just making it look good.
You don't have to hit them hard if you hit them a lot.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, Zuby, you're up next, buddy.
Okay. Let's go. Let's start. We'll continue. We'll go back with Streddy. Streds, we know you like to laugh, but if you were ever stranded on a desert island and could only watch one comedy movie over and over for the rest of your life, what is that movie? Or if you don't have an immediate answer to that, you can also give me a specific Seinfeld episode, but I'd like to hear a movie.
Well, I'm actually going to slightly change it. Fawlty Towers, the series with John Cleese. It's British humor. He owns a hotel and he's got like just a wife who's all over him. He's got this a guy, like it's just a, it is to me the funniest show I've ever, I still laugh when I see it. So Fawlty Towers, British series. So I didn't answer your question exactly like you asked it.
No, I like it. I'm more than satisfied with that answer. Brownie, you had what some might call an unusual career path. You played the better part of 5 years in the minors in the middle of your career before returning to the NHL for full time for a number of years. What was the number one thing you attribute, maybe a change you made or whatever it would be to make that return to the NHL a possibility?
Appreciating what I had and understanding what it took to get there. I think when I first was in the NHL, it came, I wouldn't say easy, but I had success. And I don't know if I wish that rookie Rob Brown knew 10-year Rob Brown and would have taken advice from him because later in my career, I made much better choices. It would have probably helped prolong my career at the beginning.
Like sticking around after practice for five to seven minutes.
Maybe instead of driving past the gym in the summer, I could have popped in once or twice.
I love it. That's a good, honest answer, Brownie. Love it. Great question, Zuby.
Okay, Shagar, I can come up with a backup if this doesn't work. I'm fishing for a story here that you told me one time, probably years ago. This is how I'm going to phrase the question. Have you ever had a beverage after a game with a player on an opposing team that you had had a fight with against earlier in that same evening?
Oh, did I tell you a story about this? I must have been making shit up because I don't remember anything like that.
You were telling me a story about there was a rule that if a second fight starts on the ice, that it's an automatic ejection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have a beverage with anybody. What I can tell you is we got into a line brawl in Lethbridge. And I think Byron Richie, was he at the Lethbridge Hurricane? Either of you guys recall that? Anyway, Byron Richie, I was paired up with him. And I said, let's go. And he was like, I'm not fighting you. Like, he kind of like, who are you? Was kind of his response to that. And I didn't really have the kind of temperament to just start punching a guy in the head that didn't want to fight. So I just kind of held on to him. And then some other fights started and a few people got kicked out. And after the game, Stu McGregor, our general manager, he came up to me and he said, I won't use the expletives. He's like, what in the hell do you think you're doing here? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, that was their best player. Reesh, I don't care what his answer is to you. It's a line brawl. You start swinging and you make that guy fight. You get him out of the game. We would take that trade 10 days out of 10. Do not let that happen again or it'll be your last game. And I was like, okay, so message delivered. So that's a line brawl story that I recall. Did I tell you a different one, Zuby?
I feel like you told me this one that it was late in the game. And you were telling whoever it was, like, hey, well, if we start a fight while this fight's already going, we'll be the first ones to the pub.
Oh, that was Scott Hannon. Yeah, yes. Me and Scott Hannon got into a scrap in Kamloops. And there was 5 minutes left in the game. It was the last game of the regular season. And we paired off. And I was like, let's just get out of here. And he's like, sure. So we just had a quick little fight. And then we were done for the night.
That was the one. So it was Scott Hannon. Yeah,
there you go.
Strud, thanks, fellas.
You got a question for Struds? Did you ask Struds?
Yeah, Fawlty Towers.
Okay, yep. Very good. All right, Struddy.
I'm done. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Ryan Rashog, your best career decision.
I like that. My best career decision. My best career decision. It's more of a philosophy that I took early on in my career that really helped me out. Was that I I started getting in touch with people in places I wanted to work before there were jobs available there. So in other words, I laid all kinds of groundwork ahead of time so that when jobs came up, they knew who I was and where I was. So it worked with CTV Edmonton to the point where I bugged them so much, asking them for feedback and sending them material that when a job came up, they basically called me and said, we're flying you in. Same thing with TSN. When Ken Chilibeck retired, I'd been bugging TSN so much that, you know, my soon-to-be boss, Mark Milliere, called me and said, you know, Ken Chilibeck is retiring. We'll go through the process, but chances are job's yours if you want it, so we'll be in touch. So I was very aggressive chasing opportunity, not while it was present, but getting ahead of it. And that served me well through my career.
Zuby, when did you realize the potential of podcasts, you know, over the career or your career in the, in this media business?
I mean, that's a good question. I guess when Ryan told me right from the beginning that I didn't have to do it for free, I thought that might have been the first little go there. It's been slow. It's bizarre because it's not what I was doing. Like Shagar and I started at the same spot, which was zero. He had done more research on it than I had. And, but all the, I'm like, yeah, well, I know how to do that. I know how to do that. We'll get to learn these softwares. And so, yeah, to realize I guess right away. And I think once Ryan and I were getting into it and I saw as like, oh, it's easy to get this out there. Like that part of it is easy and not cost prohibitive. So if your content is good, you can
it's doable. Make something. We realized it was doable. Hey, buddy. Like oh, okay. This isn't that we actually technically, like this is doable.
Please. This is Zuby's question. Not to be. Afraid,
he's trying to get, he doesn't want to have to play the wind up music for the wrap up music. Although I'm the only one who has it.
To play off stage, Zuby.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Brownie, it's not often I compliment you, but you're probably one of the smartest hockey players I've ever been around. You know, even when you play with the kids and stuff, like your hockey IQ, you always know where it's going or where it's going to be. It's just crazy. So how did you develop that? Because you can say it was just easy and came to me and you scored, you know, you always quote how many points you scored in Western Hockey League, but I don't believe it just arrives in your pocket.
Well, it's like I am not a very good skater. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. So
no,
I'm not very big. I'm not very strong. Can't shoot the puck very hard. Not a great fighter. You adapt. I adapt in any sport I go in. Like I'm not a good skier, but I can go top to bottom, never fall. You just find a way to get it done. So in hockey, I had to find ways to win. I wasn't going to beat you to the race. I wasn't going to knock you off the puck. So I'm going to just try and understand the game. So I think I just try to understand ways to win, whether it's cards, whether it's games, whether it's Sultans of Catan or whatever that game is. I just want to try and find ways to win it. And in for Hockey IQ, I just try to find ways to beat you because I think my biggest strength as a hockey player is that I know what my weaknesses are. So I stay away from my weaknesses. So I try to play to my strengths. So for me, that's it. I just had to find a way to win, and I wasn't going to do it through strength or speed.
Love it. Good question, Strutty. You put some thought into that, buddy. I love that. Good job. okay. So did I sound surprised? I didn't mean to sound surprised if I did.
No, that's fine. Just don't answer the question when I give it to somebody else. Let's just make that. Right.
Okay, sorry. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Okay, Strutty. Of all of the media endeavors that you have taken on since your pro career ended, what has been the most challenging and why?
Well, when I was on The Great Dinner Television, I hosted women's panels and political panels, for which I've never thought of it at all up until that moment, either one. And I'm not saying that to be muddy or mean. It wasn't really in my world. And all of a sudden I had to sit down and buckle down and get to know those issues in a hurry. And now I'm much more aware and I'm more mature, but that was a lot to bite off going from talking about the Oilers penalty kill to women's and political issues. It was a deep, deep change.
Good stuff. Brownie, getting a little personal here. Hope you don't mind this one.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You're a father. You're a committed father. Mm-hmm. Always talking about your kids. You're a proud dad. What would you say is your best quality as a dad?
I listen. I mean, like my son and I text with my son every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spend a lot of time with my daughter. She's with us at all times, mm-hmm. but I just listen. I listen to what they want and I try to help that way. I'm engaged. There you go. I'm engaged in the lives of my children. So to me, that's the of all the things I've done in my life, the thing that I'm proudest of is having my two kids.
Beautiful. Love it, buddy. Zuby, name somebody outside of your family, who inspires you.
Oh, gosh. That's tough. Who inspires me?
There's three guys on the screen.
Yeah, they're all amazing. No doubt. They're in my heart.
Heard the podcast with them, maybe.
Let's say, how about David Fincher, the movie director?
Quickly, just one sec. Googling David Fincher.
Jeez.
No idea.
Seven, Fight Club.
Okay.
Huh? I mean, there's a lot more than that, but it's that just the creativity of people who direct when I've been around, you know, I've been around that world a little bit, not film, but like production. And when you see people who are like truly creative and have a vision in their mind that it goes from not just like they have to tell they're framing the shot. The directors have creativity on like 500 different levels and they have to express that to everyone. And then it comes through the lens. So that's from like a creative standpoint. That's one director that I can think of who I admire. And yeah, that level of creativity is like crazy. It's amazing.
I love it. Zuby, I feel like you applied a lot of those principles in your production of the Shipwreck Rum commercial.
Oh my, it's really my, it's really my magnum opus. Yeah, it's
all right.
It's my Citizen Kane. My Citizen Kane in 30 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Ask Each Other Anything in our takeaway segment brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Brownie, time to say goodnight to you, buddy. Your appearance tonight, if you didn't know, was brought to everybody by Kinprint. See how Kinprint can help you with logo design and branding if you're a new company. Visit kinprint.ca. Brownie, thanks, buddy.
All right. Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah. Talk soon, pal. All right. When we come back, Strutty and I quickly are going to take a couple of laps and then ask us anything. You got a commercial, Zuby?
Yeah. Oh, it's the, this is the, In the System.
Oh, we're doing In the System? Oh, nice. Yeah. Ryan Reed. Once again, our young apprentice, put together a little look-see at what's going on in the American Hockey League. So here is In the System. My bad, Zuby.
With eight games left, the Bakersfield Condors are on track for the Calder Cup playoffs despite a 4-3 loss to the Ontario Reign last night. In the qualifying round, they could face the Reign or the Tucson Roadrunners. They've beaten Tucson by a combined score of 13-6 over the last three matchups. The Oilers have extended Olivier Rodrigue to a one-year two-way deal. Rodrigue is 12th in the AHL with a .914 save percentage. Jack Campbell is 5th with a .920 save percentage and has three shutouts this season. Campbell has suffered a minor injury but should be back early this week, according to Jim Matheson. Raphael Lavoie is on a three-game point streak while also posting goals in three of his last five games. He had a goal and an assist last night and is up to 27 goals on the year. Dylan Holloway recorded a goal against the Henderson Silver Knights on Friday and is up to 7 goals and 4 assists over his 15-game Condors campaign. Philip Broberg posted an assist on each of the Condors' 3 goals last night and is up to 6 assists over his last 3 games. He now has 2 goals and 27 assists over 43 games this season. My name is Ryan Reed, and that is what's happening in the system.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth?
Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Backscape 2.0, engineered for back shaving. The new friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. We got a deal for you. Use the promo code GYB10 for 10% off. That's GYB10. For 10% off their deluxe and 2.0 kits, that's bakscape.com. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Strud's only one game in the league tonight. Where are we going to take a lap to, my friend?
Well, we'll start with that game. And, the Ducks are having a really tough ending to their season. Hasn't gone well. But there's been one player I've followed through the World Juniors. He was traded to Kamloops Blazers last year. I saw him playing the Memorial Cup, and I've kind of kept an eye on him. That's Olwen Zellweger, and he scored his first goal tonight. Oh. Nice little ripper, jumped off the blue line.
It was a great shot, man.
It was a really good shot. Yeah, it was a really good shot. And so congratulations to him. But, you know, I guess it's weird. You know, I kind of beat them up earlier with Brownie, and I think it was fair. But there are some players coming that can, you know, turn this around. But,
oh yeah,
it's the whole package that has to be changed. But anyways, Zellweger, fun young player to watch, very talented, was great, both in Western League and obviously for Team Canada.
Did you see the goal Dakota Joshua scored going between the legs? Pretty skilled goal for a big guy. What'd you think?
He's having an incredible year. He's an older player. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I believe he's unrestricted, if I'm correct. And so for this guy to have this contract year, for sure, I think his career year, I should say, 14 goals or 15, actually 15 now, I think. It's going to be interesting to see how they sign up with a guy. I think he's going to be 28 or is 28 now. Sugar.
You're asking how old he is.
Yeah. I think he is 28 or will Dakota, be 28.
So I was just checking. So he is UFA at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And does this site have his age? 27. He's at right now, May 15th, 96.
Yeah. So really weird, like it's gonna be not weird, but good timing for him, but an odd contract to sign. You know, it's gonna be interesting for the team. The team being the Canucks.
Yeah, for sure. What's next?
Quickly, the Rangers. They obviously pulled off a pretty big win last night, but Alexis Lafreniere, 5.9, 3 goals, 2 assists. In his last 3 games, he has 5 goals and 2 assists. This guy is kind of coming to his own as a player. They definitely have been patient with him. But I think it's going to pay off, and not just because the last 3 games, but this seems to be a player who seemed to find some traction now.
52 points in 74 games. He's got the 25 goals. He's coming around, right? 1, 2, 3, 4 in his 4th season here. But what's the high end though? Like if you're doing a deal with the New York Rangers and it's a big deal, you're giving them a good player. What do you think you've got coming back? He's 22 years old. Is he centerpiece of a giant trade kind of good, or is he, you know, like how high can this go, I guess, is what I'm asking. And keeping in mind, like Quentin Byfield took a couple of seasons here, and now who knows, the sky's the limit. Like once certain guys hit, you never know.
Yeah. Well, you got him for another year, $2.3 million. So that's attractive. Like let's say he ends up at 60 points, $2.3 million for a 60-point player. That's attractive. And it's on its own by itself. Now, will he get more opportunity if he goes to another team? Because there's quite a few veterans in that group. But if you go to another team, I'm guessing it won't be quite as skilled. So the decor, the players around him, all that won't be quite as good. So I like this player. And I think that moving on from quickly is difficult, especially when he seems to be turning the corner. And at $2.3 million, I'd be blown away if he's not on that team next year.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our friends at Backscape. One more quick break. And when we come back, we'll take some of your questions coming in on the Weesh Johnson YouTube stream.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
All right, let's get you involved. Time to Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Whether you're buying or selling a home, your success will hinge on the expert advice and service provided by a real estate agent. Rini is committed to providing clients with professional services based on experience, knowledge, and skills. Call her for a no-obligation quote, 780-994-0280. Highly recommend Rini. She's fantastic. Zuby, hop back in here, buds, and let's let her rip. Lots of good feedback on the In the System segment. Hey, people are loving that.
Yeah, it's nice to have it. I know not everybody, that information's available to follow along with on your own, but it's nice to have it in a concise pack that Mr. Reed's putting together for us.
Yeah, and the thing I like about it is, like, Ryan is a young, up-and-coming sports broadcaster, so it just seems apropos that we have someone that's maybe in our system doing the In the System report. So thanks again to Ryan for taking care of that. Zuby, let's blitz through some of these comments, pal.
Sure. There's been lots of talk tonight sort of in this, lots of talk about Fogle. I wanted to, and whether or not he'll still be here next year. Michael Cook said, if you have 37 on line three, you have fantastic depth. It's wild. Mm-hmm. At one point, we were like, Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, Fogle, one of them has to go. And it sure felt like Fogle was the easy subtraction. And now he was clearly the right guy to keep. What do you think when you think in those terms? That does seem like, that seems pretty obvious, doesn't it now?
Well, let's go back to the trade. You know, Ethan Bear for Fogle was wildly criticized. And, you know, I think now it's played out really well for the Edmonton Oilers. And I think this is the type of player that you want on your team. He's probably going to get that 20 goal mark. I'd be surprised if he doesn't push for it. But I think it's unlikely he comes back just because of the cost. I can't see him coming back for anything less than $3 million, Sugar.
Strudz, can I ask you about career years in contract years? Mm-hmm. So people think that it's like this motivation. Oh, I'm in a contract year. I got to have a big year. And during the season, they're like trying harder or something, you know, that it's always on their mind. And I'm sure there's something to that, but here's what I wonder. Is it not as much about heading into a contract year? Maybe the work they put in the summer positions them to have the big years that we see sometimes in contract years. Are you not as motivated during the summer to make sure of all years, this is where you got to kill it to get yourself ready? And then you go and you play the game and there's just a little more there.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, and this will be his big contract, right? This would probably be his biggest one in terms of probably complete, like, total number because of the years. I got to believe it's another 3 or 4 year deal. So I do think that you're prepping for a big year and you're determined to get it done. Mm-hmm. But I also think Fogle's the type of guy that wants to contribute to the team. He wants to win. Like, this is, you're not going to get a chance to play with two great players like that again. It's not happening. Look around the league. How many teams truly have two superstars on their team?
Yeah.
I think Colorado, I believe the Oilers do. Toronto, yeah, you know, you could maybe squint hard enough and see it. But, you know, even like the Rangers, Florida, I don't think they have true superstars like that. Maybe Tampa but Hedman's getting a little bit older, Vasilevskiy.
Should also make mention Ethan Bear, who you mentioned in the player assistance program. So certainly wishing best wishes to Ethan Bear, and hopefully he comes out healthy and happy on the other side. Zuby?
Shane Matheson pointing out his opinion, Lavoie, Holloway, and Broberg will be up next year. Lavoie could be the replacement for Fogues. He can snipe for sure. And there's cost savings there across the board, I suppose.
Two good years in the minors. I mean, he's got to get a chance, right? And there was a few games there, especially the last game, I thought he played pretty well. But the Oilers are going to be stretched financially. There's no doubt about it with their cap situation. That's going to happen. The cap deal makes it difficult, right? That's going to make it difficult. That gums up the situation, Shoggy.
Yeah, 100% it does. You need good players on entry-level deals that can come in and contribute in a meaningful way, not just be bit players in and out of the lineup, right? So Holloway is a guy that's going to, you know, they're going to have to just ride it no matter what. And if it doesn't happen next year, then you probably need to make the trade. But I think he's going to have a good year next year, and I think he'll be here. Lavoie, there's going to be opportunity because there'll be a spot. Yeah, I think that's a good comment. I agree with it.
Mike Smith, I'm going to try to – Mike Smith is a great contributor. He can be as long-winded as I can be trying to spit some of the questions out. I'll give this – I'll try to bottle this up. Kane's production fell from 1.13 points per game in the playoffs 2 years ago to 0.471 points per game last playoffs. Is it unrealistic for Kane's? Was the high too high or the low too low? Should he fall somewhere in the middle, or do they not even care as long as he's being physical? And I think he also wants to know if he can't reproduce that, get back to from 2 years ago, how does that affect his position on this team going forward?
Well, he ain't getting anywhere near that from the third line, Struds.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it tough for sure. But guys, I think we got to be careful. Just like game one of the NHL season, the lines aren't static. It won't stay like that for 82 games, just like game one of the playoffs. Like I said, I know it's not trending that way now with the way the Kings are playing and Vegas has moved up. But I believe that lines are there set are perfect versus the Kings. Perfect. Might not be perfect against the Vegas. Might not be perfect as they move through. So it will not be static. And good teams have a little bit of mobility up and down those lines.
Three more, Zuby. Okay, Paulie's got a good one here. Ask us, hypothetically, let's say the Oilers lift the cup. Who is the dark horse Conn Smythe trophy winner? McDavid and Draisaitl don't count. Or you could, if you want to twist that into, who would need to be the Conn Smythe trophy winner for them to win it? However you want to take that.
Wow, the easy one, Skinner. Skinner's the guy.
I think they can score enough to win with average to above average goaltending. I would say, I mean, those guys will be so far ahead in points, though, Zuby. It almost feels unrealistic, but I'll go with Hyman.
JL wanted to know if Kulak traveled with the team to St. Louis or not.
Yeah, we were told after the game last night by Chris Knobloch that he was going to be going on the trip.
Penner's Pancake says, so do you think it's better for the Oilers to play Vegas first, only because they, in quotes here, might not be fully healthy for round one, but who knows with them?
I do understand that sentiment. Like, Hurdle and Stone aren't back on the lineup. Stone, we're not sure with the lacerated spleen where it's going to be. Hurdle, hasn't skated or hasn't played any meaningful games for quite a few months here. So I do understand that idea. And I do think you have to beat Vegas. I really think you got to go through them and beat them to continue to get out of the specific division. Then it'll be probably them, then Canucks, then pick your poison. Looks maybe not the Jets, shocker. Maybe not the Jets. So Stars or Colorado, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'd be playing Vegas in the first round. I think it'd be fine for the Oilers. I think they're healthy. Their game is, for the most part, in order. I think it gives them an opportunity to, hit the playoffs with a ton of motivation against a team that took them out last year, the chance to take out the big dogs in terms of last year's champs. Yeah, I think a first-round matchup with Vegas would be good for them.
And finally, before I get a little plug in here, a couple people asking about the Canucks. Leaky37 says Canucks will be gone first round. John Haru says Canucks aren't convincing as playoff heavyweights. They're still building. What's your feeling about that team? They've been so consistent this year, but obviously the Demko injury and just lagging a little bit here into playoff time. Do you believe in the Canucks, Stretty?
Oh, God. I can't believe in a first time playoff team. I can't do it.
They don't have the wounds.
Yeah, they haven't been stung and hurt. But that being said, there's a lot of good stories on this team, and the highlight ones are the easy ones. Hoglander, I've liked this player the first time I saw him play. I think Connor Garland's had a resurgence. Obviously, the guy we talked about, Dakota Johnson or Joshua, I should say, was having a career year. and their D have played well, and their goaltending, that's a big issue. No Thatcher Demko. I feel pretty damn good wheeling into that first round against
them. Yeah, well said, Strutty. Well said. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Rini Buchlan, Shark of the Park. Zuby, I noticed on the stream tonight, we had a few people asking about the PWHL, and there was a little conversation happening in the stream about that. And I know that you do some work on a fantastic podcast with good friends of ours. So anybody that's interested in any PWHL talk, Zuby, tell us a little bit about Jocks in Jills, which, by the way, is a great name for a podcast about women's hockey.
It is a great name. And yeah, it's a podcast I've been producing. I think we got 10 episodes in the bag, and it's with Tessa Bonhomme and Julia Toscheri. Tessa Bonhomme, of course, from TSN and from Olympic gold medalist from 2010. And Julia Toscheri is, she's from Bardown, and she hosted Leafs Lunch Radio and has done a bunch of other stuff. And she's great, and they're awesome. It's super fun. And they dig into the PWHL. They go through the standings. They talk about some of what's going on. But really, the interviews are the best part of the show, because the girls that they interview is like the stuff that you would just never get an NHL player to talk about. The stuff that they'll just open right up about. And it's hilarious. It's really funny. And the girls are great. And they get, and people always comment, Tessa knows every player that comes on. Tessa knows their mom personally. So that's like turned into this thing. And so Tessa always goes, well, I talked to your mom. And she said, like, that's the lead into half of her questions. And it's very funny. And she does the research Tessa does with the players' moms and friends is amazing. And she's always got great stuff to pull out. So it's a lot of fun. So I hope people will check it out.
When does it drop? What days of the
tomorrow?
Week
we got a new one coming out tomorrow. So we're Mondays. Nice. Yeah.
All right. That is Jocks and Jills, available on all your podcast platforms, on YouTube as well. Very similar model to what we do. They'll stream on YouTube and in podcast form as well. Struds, do you have a gem of the night tonight? We had a lot of different questions, a lot of different content on a Sunday night. What stood out to you tonight, my friend?
I'll give it to Rob Brown. I don't think I've given him anything, but his answer to your question about, you know, what makes him a good dad, he said he's available to listen. I think that's a good advice for any dad. And I'm going to try to work more of that into my own family.
And a little sympathy when they have the sniffles, Struds. Go a long way, buddy. It'll go a long way.
That won't happen. That's not what the 300 did. Go back and watch the 300. It sniffles, you're out.
This is Sparta. That's what the kids need from their dad. Okay, Struds, good job tonight, buddy. Appreciate the late night.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, Zuby. Relentless player of the night, buddy. I know it was a scramble for you, but you pulled it off. It was fantastic. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the stream and being patient and staying with us. Oilers back in action tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues, and we will drop a post-game pod after it is all done. Enjoy the rest of your night. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.